Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LT Foods Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Himanshu Nayyar from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q4 and financial year 2024 results conference call of LT Foods. We have with us from the management team Mr. Ashwini Kumar Arora, MD & CEO, Mr. Sachin Gupta, CFO, and Ms. Monika Chawla Jaggia, VP Finance and Strategy. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management team, and then we will open the floor for the question-and-answer session. I would now like to request the management to share their perspective on the performance of the company. Thanks, and over to you, Ms. Monika.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our Q4 and financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Before we start with the key highlights of the quarter and the full year ended 31st March 2024, I would like to highlight that certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today are forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. Result documents are available on the company's website and have also been uploaded on the stock exchange. A transcript of this call will also be made available on the investor section of the company's website. I will now hand over to Mr. Ashwini Kumar Arora for his comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monika. We are immensely pleased to announce that LT Foods has achieved robust growth in revenue and profitability for another year. Our three key segments, Basmati and other specialty rice, organic food and ingredients, and ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook segments, have driven a remarkable 12% year-on-year increase in growth. While our Basmati and other specialty rice continued to outperform during the year, growing by  17%. Our ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook products have gained traction by growing at 23%, have further contributed to our revenue growth globally. This consistent performance highlights our strategic focus on brand building, innovation, distribution expansion. Our market share in India currently stands at 30.1%, with an offtake volume growth of 11% for financial year 2024 compared to the category growth of 8.9%. Additional investment on brand, distribution expansion, and portfolio expansion have played a key role in this success. Moreover, the number of households consuming LT Foods products grew by an impressive 11% to reach 50 lakh-plus households in India. Our brand in U.S., Royal, has grown by 20.6% as compared to category growth of 17%. Our brand Golden Star has also grown by 30.8% as compared to category of growth of 11.6%. Golden Star currently has 15% market share in the jasmine rice segment in U.S. In Europe, our revenue grew by 11% year-on-year in financial year 2023-24 by focusing on key accounts and branded business. In Middle East, our revenue grew by 42% and our brand share in premium segment has reached to 6.7% in UAE. The revenue growth has been delivered by strategic growth market, UAE and Iraq, driven by investment in brands. Our food business has grown 6 times since financial year 2020 and is expected to grow at a CAGR of 33-35%. The growth will be fueled by increased consumer distribution penetration and launch of new products. Our organic business, the revenue was hit by anti-dumping duty, but still I am happy to share the team has done a wonderful job by covering up the same to an extent. We are optimistic on the future outlook of the organic business. Looking ahead, we remain focused on strengthening our business fundamentals and by recruiting more consumers. We are confident on demand side, whereas we see a marginal impact on margin on account of Red Sea, freight issue and investment on building digital capabilities. We are optimistic on our ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook business as well. We are doubling our capacity in USA in this segment. Our strategic initiative, including strengthening our core business across geography, organically and inorganically, expanding our product portfolio and adding efficiency across value chain, have established LT Foods as a dominant global player. We are dedicated to optimizing operations, improving efficiency, and maintaining our commitment to sustainability, guided by our ethos of quality and innovation. We aim to continue generating value for all stakeholders and achieving sustained growth in the years to come. Thank you.
Now we open the floor for question answers, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pradyuman Choudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I'm a bit new to the company, so most of my questions are rather a bit over a longer term related question. So first thing, if you look at the data from FY18 to FY23, our gross margins have expanded actually by 6 percentage points or so, yet our operating margins seem to be largely at similar levels. So has it got to do something with the change of...
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. There is some background noise from your side. I just request you to use handset, sir, please.
Better?
Yeah, you can go with the question.
Yeah, hi. So my first question relates to if you look at your gross margins over FY18 to FY23 or even FY24, they've expanded by 5-6 percentage points, and yet our operating margins seem to be in a flattish zone. So is it due to some change in how we do our sales in terms of FOB or CIF? Or is there some other reason? Because a lot of it seems to be going towards trade and forwarding charges. The margin improvement seems to be offset by freight and forwarding charges over the years. So that's the first question. Then the second one relates to you've given a guidance for ROE improvement to 20% in FY25, and we seem to be on our way there. But from a free cash flow perspective, there seems to be still a big headroom for improvement. That's probably because of inventory days. So how, what's our plan going forward? Like, where do we want to, where can we get these cash flows improvement from? What are the low-hanging fruits and what are we targeting really? And the third question relates to in recent times, we've done a fair bit of capex, right? Like close to 3% of our sales over a 5-6 year period. So has it been mostly towards maintenance? Has it been towards capacity expansion? Because my sense is the capex requirement for our business would otherwise be quite limited. So where has this capex been? These are my three questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, Sachin, you can add wherever you wanted to. So I will take from, you know, your last question on the CapEx. So the CapEx mainly has gone into three parts. One is, you know, the capacity increase. The second is on the maintenance CapEx, and third is building. You know, we have in the last 2-3 years, we have built, you know, our own green energy. We have invested in solar, we have invested in biofuel generation, and some part has gone into the warehousing building. So broadly, you know, the CapEx has gone there. And, you know, we have set up our, you know, RTH plant. You know, we have increased our RTH facility in USA. So that's your third question. Second is on the free cash flow. Sachin will add into that, but broadly, you know, on the working capital cycle, we don't see any further improvement, you know, in the working capital cycle. But with the time, you know, as our, you know, jasmine rice business will grow, as our value-added business will grow, the mix will change.
Yes, yes, you are right. And in this respect, I want to say that over the years, if you are looking over 2021 to 2024, our working capital days from a 232 days now it has come down to 188 days. And what we see currently at in the rice segment, this kind of inventory levels have to maintain, and we have to age our inventory, and these inventory levels or the working capital cycle will remain. Of course, there can be a reduction of 1 or 2 days here and there. That is possible. But our major reduction in the working capital days will come in the RTC and the RTE segments. Once it crosses and we aspire to have a 7-8% of our total revenue coming from this segment, which has a lower working capital cycle, then our working capital cycle will further reduce.
Coming back to your first question, on the, you know, our gross margin has improved, but, you know, our operating margin. But, you know, if you see in the 5 year, we have improved approximately 2% on EBITDA margin from our lower side. But, you know, as in the last 4 year, we have ran through, you know, this disruption of COVID, you know, Red Sea. So that has increased our operating cost. As far as your question, do we sell C&F, FOB? You know, majority of our business is, you know, not on, because, you know, we have our own distribution, marketing in USA, Europe, and we sell, you know, there as a, you know, in a competitive landscape. So it's not like, you know, so the balancing, you know, the operating margin on the gross margin. So, you know, we are confident, you know, once this disruption phase will be over, we will be able to improve margin. However, we are improving on our return on capital employed as 21.7, and return on equity 19.3.
Yes.
I hope, you know, that answer your all question.
Yes, yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaydev Balaji from Equizon Analytics. Please go ahead.
हेलो
हाँ जी हाँ जी जयदेव साहब
या आई एम ऑडिबल सर
वेरी मच
या ओके सो आई जस्ट हैव अ फ्यू क्वेश्चंस टू आस्क सो आई जस्ट वांट टू नो हाउ यू प्लान टू ग्रो योर रिटेल प्रेजेंस एंड डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन लाइक गोइंग फॉरवर्ड एंड व्हाट फैक्टर्स हैव इंपैक्टेड रियलाइजेशंस दिस ईयर एंड व्हाट इज द आउटलुक ऑन द एक्सपोर्ट मार्केट. And can you also share more details on the growth strategy for basmati versus non-basmati rice? That's about it, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, on the demand side, you know, in the international market, you know, we are optimistic that, you know, the double digit 10 to 12% growth will remain, you know, intact. And your second question was on the retail and distribution. You know, in India, we are just, you know, 140,000 outlets, although, you know, we are present omni-channel and e-commerce in modern trade. But in general trade, there is a lot of opportunity and we are working on that to increase our distribution. So this question I have not understood, you know, realization impact. So what was your question on the realization?
So what factors impacted the export realization this year and what is the outlook on export markets in the future years?
So as I told, you know, we are optimistic on demand side on the international market as well as in India.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naitik Mukta from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is, you know, if I see in the last 4 years, we have spent close to 841 crores, you know, in capex. Now, I know you have given, you know, broadly where you have spent the capex, like on energy or ready to heat and all of that. But can we please put numbers to those specific numbers? Because 841 seems to be a big number. So if you can separate the maintenance capex and rest, if you can give that breaker, that would be really helpful.
Sure, we can do that, but if you can just write a mail, we will, we don't have that.
I'll write a mail, sure.
Yeah.
Now, my second question is on the international market. If I see the rest of the world seems to have degrown year over year. Is that right? And if yes, then what happened, if you could just elaborate.
No. International market, the rest of the world.
The rest of the world, ex of Europe, US, and, you know, the rest of the market, ex of these two.
You know, we have grown, you know. So I think in the presentation, it's not mentioned, but we have grown across all international market as well as in India.
Okay. And another question is, you know, if I see there has been, you know, margin expansion on EBITDA level, which has come due to decrease in other expenses, ex of, you know, raw material and employee cost, both on a year-on-year level. So I just wanted to ask, what is the sustainable level and how has this come about? I mean, what costs have we reduced?
So in terms of margin, you're asking about sustainability?
Yeah.
We are confident that, you know, we are confident on the...
No, sir, my specific question is that the other expenses have come down significantly, ex of raw material and employee cost. So if you separate those two costs, the remaining cost has come down significantly. I just wanted to understand what is the reason for that.
So this reason, there are basically different reasons. Our operational efficiency and the reduction in the freight cost. This has led to a reduction in the... In the other expenditure this year.
So majority of it would be freight cost to save.
I am talking about, I have given two aspects, the operational efficiency and the freight cost.
Okay.
These two factors both have led to an increase in my margin, EBITDA margin.
Sure. Thank you. Just one last question. Can you please give the realization India and international both for rice per kg?
So the India realization this year is 65 and the international 138.
138. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Goyal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. My first question is related to the, you know, if you look at the selling and distribution expenses, and when it's quite high for you guys as compared to if I look at KRBL, right, your competitor, which is very low, right? I understand that they have a more established brand. So can you give us some guidance how this S&D expenses could go down and why do you spend more versus a competitor?
So Hitesh, you know, our business model is different from, you know, the competition you are mentioning. You know, we have our own distribution, you know, in major of the business, which is USA. We do 40% of our business and we do our own distribution marketing, whereas, you know, the competition sells to distributor and their books, you know, close there. So, you know, there will always be a difference of, you know, F&D expenses as compared to them, whereas LT is consistently growing and delivering, you know, the good margins.
Okay. My second question is, sir, in this business, obviously there is inventory that you have keep have to keep of basmati rice, right? So can you please, I'm new to this company, so just wanted to understand, how do you manage the price fluctuation? Because you're buying the rice from the farmer, and then you're keeping it for say 1 year and then selling in the market. Can you please help us understand, because the margins have been quite consistent over a over last 10-year period, right? So that is very encouraging, but just want to understand, how do you manage the price fluctuations in the rice business?
So, Hitesh, all is what we do, don't do trading or, you know, speculation. So whatever we source, our inventory is all for the brand. And, you know, the brand prices, you know, as, you know, in the competitive landscape, you know, almost, you know, there is no unhealthy competition there, like, you know, when the prices fluctuate. So basically, you know, the strong brands help us to, you know, maintain our margin and, you know, the global presence. These are the two.
So basically you adjust the pricing according to the market and maybe you help us get that.
It's not, you know, it's a very, very consistent, you know, all in international market. And as you have seen, you know, majority of the business, you know, is not linked to the consumer prices, not linked to the commodity price.
It's a spread business, is it?
It's like any, you know, yeah, FMCG branded business.
Okay. And my final question is, when I see the Daawat versus India Gate pricing, like on, you know, DMart or anything else, right? What I see is that they command, you know, India Gate has a premium of 10-15% in terms of pricing versus Daawat. You know, I'm also a basmati lover. I've always, you know, gone with Daawat because I like the taste. So just wanted to understand why this price difference generally between...
Normally, you know, we have not seen, you know, Daawat commands 30% share, and we are at par with competition, you know. So we don't discount our brand. So maybe, you know, this store sometime, you know, do promotion on certain brands. So maybe that kind of experience. But normally our realization at every price point is at par with premium as compared to competition and not discounting.
Okay. So it's a final question on the ready-to-eat business. So you are saying your margins will go up to 14-15% for the company. This is for overall company, I'm assuming. And ready-to-eat will be the large, strong growth of 30% plus that you are expecting, right? So can you help us understand, right now it's not making money, it is minus 1% margin. So at what scale does it start making money? Can you help us understand the metrics of the business there, how the scale up?
So this business is currently contributing 2.6% of my overall revenue. So this will break even at a point of 370 crores of business. So currently it is contributing a 200 crores of my overall business. So another 2 years is required for it getting a break even.
So how will we reach 14-15%? So after that,
yes,
it skips up after 2 years, the margins is incremental.
In the 5 year span, we are expecting that its EBITDA margin to be in the range of 8-10%. Then of course it has a higher margin territory, and as I have earlier explained, the ROCE is much better than in the rice category.
No, so I understood that, but you said 14-15% for the whole company. Our basmati margins are 13% today. And ready to eat.
That is at a 13.5, and further to add this, we are expecting that it to grow at 15% mark over next 4-5 years, and the remaining the organic segment at a 10%, it to we have a 13.5 to 14%. This overall will have a impact of having an EBITDA margin of 14.5%. This combined, yes.
So basically, rice margins also goes up. And sir, Middle East, if you can share what are you doing with Salic, because that's a big market. If you can give us some sense, how will you scale up Middle East?
So Middle East is our focus, and if we have seen that, you know, we have grown, although the base is small, but we have grown this year 42%. As far as Salic partnership is concerned, you know, we all know Saudi government sovereign fund, they are facilitating us to, you know, as a government, they can't do business, but, you know, they are facilitating our, you know, entry strategy in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is ready-to-heat and ready-to-cook segment. You said at 370 crore, it will break even. So it will break even at 370 crore EBITDA level or at net level?
So, what we are talking about at an EBITDA level, it will be break even at 370-400 crores, what the revenue size needs to be. So it needs to be double from the current.
So over what time frames will it double?
2 years. What we are expecting that, if everything shape up well, the 2 years, what we are expecting.
So in FY 2026-27, we can expect around 350-400 crores in that business?
That's what we are targeting, yes.
Sir, regarding that insurance claim update, the court has ruled in our favor, and insurance company has gone in the appeal, but means have we received any payment or we have not received any payment?
No, we have not received any payment. The insurance company has gone to the next court. You know, the court has heard us. So now they have reserved the order. So maybe in the week's time, you know, we will have, you know, the outcome of that, and accordingly, we'll move forward and get the money.
And sir, my next question is regarding margins for jasmine rice. Is it comparable to basmati rice, or is it lower or higher? Any comments?
It's a comparable.
It's a comparable. And it will have a higher growth as compared to basmati?
In America, the jasmine market is three times bigger than basmati market. And, you know, historically, we have seen that, say, growing more, you know, as compared to basmati. And we have seen, you know, the day we have acquired the jasmine business, last year we have grown by 30%, whereas basmati, we have grown by 20%.
So we have just 15% share in jasmine. So who is the leading player in U.S., sir?
So leading is, you know, the private label business there. And there are other two, other Abro is a company which is a Spanish company. They are $2 billion in rice. So they are competing in that.
Okay, sir. I have further questions. I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kavina Desai from SkyRidge. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, Kavina.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My first question is, with respect to the share in profits of JV and associates line item, we see a sharp decline in profits this Q4 versus previous year's Q4. But however, when we look at it on a full year basis, it did significantly well in FY 2024 versus FY 2023. So are such big quarterly variations in this line item a normal thing, or this was unusual? Can you please throw some light on this?
This year, now, if you to look at the year or the quarter-on-quarter basis, the margins have remained consistent. there were certain in the last year or the same quarter, there were certain profits which were at a higher rate. But over the year, this year, the profit has remained consistent over the quarter.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is, can you also throw some light on your current inventory situation?
So our current inventory level is that we have is 243 days of inventory and a value of 3,500 crores of inventory that is lying that is sitting in my books.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from Augmenta Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, sir, my question was that, for example, if you look at FY24, we had a volume growth of around 9% and revenue growth of around 7%. So, could you highlight that going forward, what could drive the growth? Because since the last couple of years, basmati rice prices are strong. So we are witnessing strong revenue growth. So could you break up in terms of what could be the volume growth we are witnessing? And secondly, also, how are the basmati prices? Because like currently it's very early because we are just early into the sowing season. So some highlight on that and also going forward, what could be the contribution from the volume growth side? Because revenue would depend, the revenue would depend on the value growth as well. So could you highlight on this?
So, you know, if you see the last year, you know, we have grown by 12% and the volume growth is 10 and value is 2. So we are growing both volume-wise and value-wise. And in our future model also, we have built, you know, half value and half volume growth. So across wherever, you know, LT Foods brands and markets are, the category is growing, be it, you know, America, be it India, be it Europe. So the consumption of this basmati segment is growing. Wherever we are in, you know, jasmine is growing and basmati is growing. Organic, you know, is also growing. So we see both value and volume growth in future and what we have seen historically also.
So, sir, you are trying to say that going forward around that, as you mentioned, that will grow to the tune of 10 to 12% for the next upcoming year. So, you are trying to say 6% would be driven by volume and 6% of that growth would be driven by value, right?
That's yeah. Yeah, historically okay. Also we have done and we are very positive that, you know, the category will keep growing. And
Okay.
Yeah.
So, sir, according to your market understanding, so how are the basmati prices currently vis-a-vis maybe last couple of years?
So, you know, today or, you know, as you know, the crop comes in, you know, in the month of start from the September, October. And last year, you know, our sourcing price was higher than the last year around 10 to 12% higher than the last year.
Yeah, trying to say the current inventory which we have on books, the sourcing price of that is 10 to 12% higher than the last year, right?
Yes, you are. Stated by Ashwiniji, so the current price level in the season, what has happened? The price crop of paddy was higher as that of the last year. But our inventory level at the current rate, if you compare it with the last year, it is 5% paddy is higher than the last year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajneesh Mehan from Master Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand, is there any difference in quality of Royal brand that you have in US and Dabur's premium over here? Or it's the same?
Yeah, you know, there are different varieties. So, you know, in Royal, you know, we have a very premium quality rice. Whereas in Dawat also, it's a different variety of rice, you know. There are 3-4 popular varieties accepted in different parts of the world. So, we, you know, pack different varieties in different brands.
Okay. So, no, so why I asked is that because, you know, with, you know, premiumization coming to India now with per capita income increasing, so is there a plan to launch, if Royal is a premium, then Dawat, to launch Royal brand in India? And I also see that Dawat brand is not there in US. So is there a reason for that, or I mean, what are the plans?
Dawat is very much, you know, in USA.
Okay, okay. In your presentation, I couldn't see. And so what about, is there any plan to get Royal premium brand to India?
No. So Royal will be a, you know, North America brand. You know, they are very strong. Dawat is a very strong brand. So Dawat is present across all price point in India. And, you know, our biryani rice, which is the most premium rice, you know, price to consumer is in the range of 130 to 190. So we are growing roughly, you know, 20% year on year.
Okay. And so my second question is, are you looking out for any more acquisitions in the domestic market or international?
So we keep evaluating, you know. So historically, you know, the company has been built both organically and inorganically growth.
I mean, is there anything in pipeline? I mean,
you know, nothing definite, but we keep evaluating, you know.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, Sandeep ji.
Sir, basically, I wanted to know, like in your ready-to-eat business, you have said that in the next 5 years, it will contribute nearly to 10% of the revenue. So,
yeah,
I wanted to know...
But we said, yeah.
So, I wanted to know for the organic business, because it is a very important part. So, next 5 years, what is the likely amount of revenue to level to contribute 20, 30 for the total revenue of consolidated profits, basically?
So, Sandeep, if I have, you know, understood your question right, one, you know, the ready-to-eat, you know, the next 5 years we have built, you know, 8 to 9% of our total business come from food. Roughly 12% will be from organic and rest is specialty will be, you know, 80% will be basmati and jasmine rice.
Okay, after 5 years, 80% will be basmati, basically.
So because, you know, basmati category is also growing. So, you know.
Yeah. So I wanted to get those figures. And secondly, sir, being an investor, I wanted to just take your guidance for next 1 year. Can we expect, like, the PAT was very good, 600 this time. Can we expect a 35% 30 to 35% increase, as well as the planning and the trends next 1 year or something like that?
I will, you know, I can't comment on the number, at, you know, so, but we, as I said in our, you know, the commentary that, you know, we are positive on the demand side.
And the margin you're likely to maintain as per the plan.
So margin, as I said, you know, there is a marginal pressure on because of this Red Sea freight and, you know, we are investing in digital capability. But, you know, the demand side is strong, so the business looks very positive.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jasmine Surana from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to understand the volume degrowth in organic since the past 2 quarters.
So, Jasmine, as far as, you know, organic business, as I said, you know, we have lost some business because of anti-dumping duty in soya. But, you know, as I said, the team has done a wonderful job. So we have covered this year that shortfall by growing, you know, other portfolio of organic food. So, you know, the other portfolio is growing, be it, you know, the oil seed, the value-added rice, and, you know, other lentils, these category have grown. The soya is the only category which has degrown here.
And is there any guidance as to when this can be recovered with soya?
Soya, this year we are positive that, the soya will come back.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shashwat Garg from SKU. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hanji Shashwat ji.
I just want to ask that followed by the ban on basmati rice at certain price cap by government of India, then now it's Red Sea crisis. Are you getting any competition from basmati rice players from Pakistan? Because Pakistan is exporting too much basmati rice to Middle East and other countries.
So, Shashwat, as far as, this MEP, what you are mentioning is 950. As far as LT food is concerned, we all do, branded basmati, majority branded basmati export. And we don't feel any challenge on this MEP, and which, the result has also shown that. As far as Pakistan is concerned, yes, the Pakistan is giving competition to the Indian basmati rice as an industry. India has lost share as an industry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And,
as an LT food, our Europe operation this year has imported a lot of basmati from Pakistan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, the second question is about the domestic market. Your prices are just double from the local players, I want to put it like that. You have only one distributor in Uttar Pradesh, in the city of Lucknow. And while India Gate has distributor all over the cities in Uttar Pradesh, so how do you see the growth in domestic market?
Shashwat, I wish we could have that kind of premium over commodity, but that's not the case. We are, almost 9 price points, working in India. And we are very well competitive in the branded landscape. We are maintaining, rather we are growing our market share.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Oja from SKS Capital and Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for great set of numbers. I have a couple of them. So if I remember correctly, after quarter three end conference call, I think we talked about a higher freight cost, and we also quantified that, it could go up by even $4 to $5 million per annum basis. But surprisingly, obviously positively, we had a lower freight cost in quarter four. So we did not have any impact with respect to the Red Sea crisis.
We are seeing the Red Sea impact. Our US Europe freight has gone almost either one double the freight, but we have seen, because you have not seen the impact in the last quarter, because we always have an inventory in transit.
Okay.
Quarter will
have some impact, you may say.
Definitely. Be a marginal impact on the,
All right. Okay. And secondly, so with respect to your market share in Middle East, which is about 7%. So your one of your largest competitors seems to have lost market share specifically in the Saudi market. So haven't we managed to gain some sort of a market share in Saudi specifically or Middle East as a whole? I mean, what was the market share say a year back and what is it now?
But what I call 7% is, you know, in the premium segment, that is in UAE, not in the whole Middle East. By definition, we conclude Saudi, Iraq, Iran, which is a roughly 25,000 crore market. So, as I said, you know, they have a very strong brand there, owned by local companies. And as far as LTE is concerned, we have grown by 42%.
Okay. So no comment specific to Saudi market?
No. You know, Saudi is a good potential market and we are working on that.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay. Thank you. And finally, so we had a great year with respect to free cash flow generation, but we still kept our payout ratio at a pretty low level. What is your thought on that?
No, we, you know, as the guidance, we said that, you know, we will pass on, share dividend 10 to 20% of our consolidated margin, and we will, you know, do that.
All right. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vicen Andrews from Geojit Financial Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the consistent good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I have two, three data points. One is in continuation to the previous question. So can you please quantify how much is the freight cost in 321 crores this quarter as a percentage of sales, and how much you expect as a percentage of sales in the next quarter because of the Red Sea?
We can't, you know, share, you know, the detail on this phone, but you know, you just Red can call the, you know, investor relationship and we will be happy to share that. You know, as I said, you know, the freight rate has gone double to the Europe and almost again double to the US.
Yeah. Okay, so one more data point, like what is the volumes international and as well as India this quarter? And the realization that is in ongoing quarter, Q1 quarter, for India as well as international.
So as a quantitative one, so we made a quantitative revenue of 185,000 tons in this quarter. And this is almost a 17% growth on the quarter-on-quarter basis.
For total, so can you please split in international as well as India?
That is 1 lakh tons in international and 87,000 tons in
India. Okay. Thank you. And the realization in the ongoing quarter, what's the trend in India and international?
As stated by Ashwini ji, we will maintain the momentum and we are hopeful that this year also, we will have a quantitative growth of 7-8% this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. What is our dividend distribution policy? So we have declared a total dividend of 1.5 rupees on our earning per share of 17 rupees. So it looks really very meager as compared to the profit and cash flows we are generating. So would you spell out your dividend distribution policy?
Sure. So we have given a guidance that, you know, dividend policy will be 10 to 20% of the consolidated profit, and we will do that.
But sir, If you take 20%, then it becomes 3.5 rupees.
Yeah, 10 to 20%, then depends, you know, on the cash flow, you know, on the future requirement, the requirement of the business. 10 to 20%, that's the range we have given.
And sir, one suggestion, previously we used to share all the tonnage for the quarter for India, US, Europe and Europe region, tonnage and rupees. That practice we have stopped. So I would request you to put those sections in next quarter's presentation. It will be really helpful.
Sure, we will evaluate your proposal.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohammed Patel from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is very similar to the previous participant. So the dividend policy is 10 to 20% of the consolidated profits. The announced dividend 1.5 is lower than the lower band, which is 10%. So this is what we all are trying to understand.
In this call, we had declared previously 50 paisa. This year we have declared 50 paisa again interim and 1 rupee as the final dividend. So this is the
2 rupees.
So no, 1 rupee is 50 paisa for the last year. We have declared a dividend for the this one, and that means
which becomes 10%,
almost a 8.5%,
9%. Yes,
it is lower than the 10% band. So this is what you are trying to understand.
Yeah, you have a valid point, and you know, we will in the coming year we'll make sure that you know.
Yes, we will look into in the coming year.
Okay. My next question is, so the volume number, if you can share for India International for the full year versus last year.
Yes. So you were having some questions?
Volume number for the basmati segment, India International for the full year.
For the full year. So for the full year, that is in the India, that is 318,000 tons, and the international 330,000 tons.
Okay. My next question is, so what is the outlook for the basmati domestic business for the next year, and what is the outlook for the organic business in the near term?
So yes, you know, we just mentioned that you know, we are positive on all our markets, India, organic, international market. We are expecting, you know, the momentum, you know, which we have built in the history.
Okay. So organic business has done not that well in the last year. So it should be doing much better, right?
Yeah. So you know, to our evaluation, organic business has done extremely very well, because you know, we lost good business of soya, but has been compensated by growing you know, the other categories. So yeah, but you know, in numbers you know, we will see growth from this year on year.
So soya will start contributing from FY25 with the different manufacturing location.
Can you repeat that, please?
So soya will start contributing again from FY25,
yeah,
because
yeah,
we had some.
Yeah, it will start. It is starting.
Okay. And the margin trajectory is 14-15%. So can we expect the improvement starting FY25 itself?
Which margin you are? You know, your voice is a little bit.
We have targeted 14-15%. Over next few years, mm-hmm. Can we expect the improvement to start from the next year?
You know, this year, you know, the as I said, you know, the EBITDA margin will be marginally impacted because of Red Sea impact and investment in digital. But you know, if you see the horizon 2 to 3 years, you know, it will improve, and more on. You know, we have to see from the lens of the ROIC. You know, if you see the ROICs are
improving year on year and the return on equity also.
Okay. And the last, there is one suggestion. So we used to give gross profit EBITDA for the three segments. So if we can continue that disclosure, it is helpful in the presentation.
Sure. We will look into it. Thank you so much for your suggestion. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Sefi from iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes. Very much.
Yes. So, sir, I just want to revisit the earlier participant question on the gross margin side. So you mean to say that from the COVID level, the overhead cost has been spillover to the subsequent years. So that's why the gross margin expansion is not really seen at the operating level side. Is it correct?
We have said that, you know, the gross margin has improved, but, you know, because of the disruption, our operating margin was, you know, at one point of time, 18-19, it was, you know, 10.5. Then, you know, we have improved to 12.5 this year.
But even though, sir, you see, at the time of 2014 and 2015, when our gross margin was used to be 25%, at that time as well, our EBITDA margin used to be at 10-11%, and now it has gone up to 12%.
Actually, what has happened
is that our business itself doesn't have the operating leverage. As the increase in the sales, our percentage to cost does also increases. If you see the employee, it was 2.3% as a percentage of sales, and then it has went up to almost 5.5%.
So if you compare the Basmati segment, you are comparing with the whole segment as such. There is Basmati, there is organic, there is the RTE and the RTC segment. If you compare it with the Basmati segment, this year the EBITDA margins in the Basmati segment is 13.6%. So, but as we are making investments in the RTC and the RTE segment, that is overall reducing my overall EBITDA. And as stated by, earlier also, na, this year my EBITDA margin in the organic segment has also had a hit because we lost the business of soya meal. So that is that had had an effect in the EBITDA margins overall.
And just to add, you know, Sachin, you know, the you know, if you see, you know, we are consistently you know, giving growth, and you know, the investment behind the brands is increasing also. So
So, sir, even though if I add your last year's ready-to-eat business EBITDA loss of 15 crore, that doesn't add much of your EBITDA margin side. So, sir, if you can just quantify the digital... Sorry, sir, go ahead.
So, what do you mean to say, Sachin, that, you know, when you are comparing that time, you know, only the Basmati business was there. But, you know, Basmati business EBITDA has grown to 13.5% to 14%. Whereas, you know, when the mix come of organic and ready-to-eat, that, you know, is making average, which is 12.5.
And apart from that, as Ashwini was stating, there is increased investment in the brand spend as well. So there, I have increased my brand spend almost by 1% over the year. So that is also having an impact. That low, it is, has a positive impact on my revenue. But there is an operating.
It is a mix, you know, the ultimate, but what we have to see is like the ROIC and return on equity that has consistently increasing year on year.
I got your point, sir. And sir, if you can just quantify the annual amount of your digital spend, how much is that?
So currently what we are expecting this year, our annual digital spend to be around 45 to 50 crores of that.
That's alone in digital media?
Digital that's...
Or capability. Digital marketing you are saying or digital capability you are saying?
Digital capability, I mean.
Yeah. Sachin, carry
on. So to, on the digital capability, we will be spending around 45 to 50 crores of... spend this year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Kothari from PI Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I just wanted to get some ideas to what CapEx are we planning for FY25 or any FY26 possible?
Sorry, what was your question?
What amount of CapEx are we planning for next year or FY25?
CapEx will be, you know, same. You know, as I said that, you know, we are doubling our capacity of ready-to-eat in America. So next year will be in the range of 200 crore rupees.
Okay, so that will be more invested in just the capacity expansion for the ready-to-eat business, right? Or is there anything else that you are planning
capacity,
to
do? Digital, you know, all these things together will be around 200 crore.
Okay.
And we are, you know, putting up facility in UK also. You know, we have inauguration in the month of July, that's a good year. So a lot of investment has been gone to building UK facility.
Okay, and also one more thing, since in terms of the acquisition, as you already talked that most of the companies that are trying to, you know, see the fit for the company or not. But if, for example, if you are planning for an acquisition or any type of a company for acquiring, what would be the more or less business that you would seem to acquire?
Sorry, my dear, your voice is echoing and we are not able to hear.
Sir, I just suggest you to use handset, please.
Am I audible now?
You are audible, but your voice is, you know, not echoing, not clear.
Yes, am I audible now?
Yeah, now it's better. Sir, it's better now?
Yes.
Okay, what I'm trying to ask is if, for example, you plan to do acquisition in the business line that you are in.
Yes. Okay. So, no, actually, you are asking that, you know, do we have any plan to acquire any business? That's what your question is?
The line got disconnected, so.
No problem.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, due to shortage of time, we will take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you and look forward to see you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematic Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.